Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
This morning, I am pleased to introduce our speaker, U.S. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. She now serves as the co-chair of Jerusalem Prayer Project, which is going around the world working with nations who will come in and honor Jerusalem. She is the co-chairperson of Hammarskjöld and Wallenberg Societies at the United Nations, where she is stationed with the organization called Well-Versed. She is a former member of the United States House of Representatives who represented Minnesota for 8 years and was selected to serve on the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. She ran for president in 2012, appearing in 15 television primary debates, and was one of the first women to ever win an American history, or win a presidential contest, one of the first to win in American history. Prior to Michelle's time in public office, she worked as a federal tax attorney. We love her, don't we? Take on the IRS. She was part of starting K-12 charter school in the U.S. and spearheaded educational reform in Minnesota. Besides doing all that she's done, she and her husband Marcus have a healthcare business. They have about 50 employees. She raised 5 biological children and has fostered 23 teenage girls. She is the leader for Christian values, and I've worked with her for years now. There's no one I would rather have be our speaker. When I first met her in the U.S. Congress, I walked into her office, and here's what she did. She said, before we ever start, we get on our knees and pray. With our core value of prayer and faith, let me introduce you to someone I know espouses that. Michelle Bach.
Thank you, Dr. Smith, for those kind words. And may I also add to Dr. Smith's congratulations to this incredibly good-looking class of 2019. I am so happy for you, so proud of you, and so thankful for you. The roadmap that God has put in front of you is something none of us can ever begin to imagine. Thank you for taking on the call. And after thanking all of you, next I would ask you to thank the God-given, Holy Spirit-inspired, blessed faculty that without your faculty, you wouldn't be where you are today. So faculty, please stand up and receive the thanks of the graduates of this class. The school is the faculty, and so we're extremely grateful for each one of you and the work that you went through to get to the position that you're in today. We're very thankful for you, for the Board of Trustees, and for all of you personally. You know and understand that the people who take up the remainder of the seats in this room, your family, your wives, your husbands, your children, your siblings, your mother, your father, your grandparents, these are the people who made it possible for you to be even be here today in the first place. So give a standing ovation to the ones who love you. Come on, graduates. You know I'm right. Gratefulness is a big part of life. It's something that we all need to remember and we all need to be inspired by. I'm inspired by Columbia International University. I was with Debbie this morning, one of the assistants to President Smith, and she said, you know you're at Columbia International University when you wake up, check your email, and it's in Arabic. That is the truth, because this is a school that God has put a calling onto so that every man, every woman knows that there is a calling to go into every man's world. This university in particular is living out that calling of Jesus Christ. when he was about to ascend to his Father in heaven, what was his last charge that he gave to his body? It was this, that we would go and make disciples of all nations and of any university that I've been acquainted with. Columbia International University gets that calling. I'm extremely impressed with each one of you and impressed with what it is that God is doing in your lives. You have storied alumni, incredible alumni, who are privileged to serve the Lord in ways that required sacrifice none of us could ever even possibly imagine. All across the world, here in the United States, in the highest echelons of power, and yet in some of the highest places in the kingdom of God, which means serving in some of the poorest areas to the most needy people, that job is, in my opinion, the highest echelons of power because it's obedience and living a life of obedience to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. When I was thinking about the word that I wanted to share with you today, this is the scripture that is the gift that I want to give to each one of you this morning. And I would ask you to think of this, ponder this, this evening, open up your Bible, look at this again, because I think this is God's word for you on this happy day of graduation. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I don't know how many of you thought when you were little that one day you would be here as a graduate student receiving a degree from Columbia International University. If you were like me, you had a lot of different thoughts other than the one that would lead you to this place that you are today. But the reason why you are here is because first and foremost, not only for the graduates, not only for the faculty, not only for President Smith and those who serve in his administration, not only for the Board of Trustees, but also for everyone within the sound of my voice today, you are God's handiwork. In other words, when you think of anyone, God is the creator of all living things, creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You, if there's any carpenter that you'd want to create you, any sculptor, any painter, any molder, it would be the Lord God Almighty himself. You can trust this God of the universe to know that when he made you his handiwork, you are absolutely perfect in his eyes for his purpose. That's you. You fit that bill. You are his handiwork, created in his image for his work in Jesus Christ. So you can have full confidence before him. You are not lesser. Don't listen to the devil when he tells you that. You are mighty. You are mighty in him. Not because of you, because of him. You are his handiwork in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that? You are absolutely perfectly created for the work that he called you to do. Perfect. Perfect in his sight. And you are created to do good works. Good works. Are those works going to get you into heaven? Absolutely not. Because the salvation rests on something so much greater. Because there is nothing any of us could ever do to buy our way into heaven. I don't care if you're Mark Zuckerberg and you got billions of dollars, you're not buying your way into heaven. There is a righteousness of Jesus Christ that even Abraham understood. Genesis teaches us that Abraham believed God, and that was accounted to him as righteousness. That's our righteousness. When we stand before him one day, we won't give God a bag of gold. We won't give him good works that we stand on. We will say, I'm here because of the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ who died on the cross, who paid for my sins, and I believe him, and I trusted him, and that's why I present myself before you today. And I am here to tell you, every single person in this room, that is the one and only decision that is ever going to count in your life. Of all the decisions you make, don't you miss that one. Because you see, the rest of the verse tells us why this is so imperative, as if living in eternity isn't enough of an incentive already. This is what you need to do. You need to make that decision. If you haven't today, if you've been resisting him, today is the day of salvation. Today, now, this is when we give our life to Jesus Christ. Don't wait one more moment. Because you see, there's a huge gift here in the room waiting to be unwrapped. Because let's go and read the rest of this verse. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, this is great. When you come to God, first of all, you were created. You are his handiwork. You were created in Christ Jesus. You were created to do good works. But to know that he created these good works for in advance, he prepared them for you to do. How many of you go online and you order stuff? Come on, admit it. You go online, that truck pulls up, somebody gets off, all these packages piled up against the door. Maybe your spouse is not real happy about that, but all these packages come. Now think of it from a heavenly perspective, as Ephesians 2:10 leads us to do, which God prepared in advance for you to do. Now think of that. He's got packages he's dropping at your door right now. He prepared in advance for you to go to undergraduate school, and you did it. And you were faithful. And he prepared in advance for you to go to graduate school at Columbia International University. And you were faithful and you did that. He prepared that for you and you did it. Congratulations. And because of that faithfulness that you made, that sacrifice that you made, I'm here to tell you, you're not done. He has prepared good works in advance for you to do and for his kingdom. You see, I don't know what God has got for you. I don't know what packages he has dropped at your door, but this I know. The word of God is true. You trust every jot, every tittle of that word of God because, again, never, ever, ever forget that you are God's handiwork. You are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. I want to take you to one very special character in the Bible, David, who when we see him at the time when he's with Goliath, he's actually a pretty young boy. And he left some sheep and he came down to bring some food to his brother who was fighting. And he found out what was about to happen. There was a huge war that was about to happen, but nobody wanted to fight it. Absolutely nobody wanted to fight it, but it meant, was Israel going to live or was Israel going to die? And he figured, he had conversations, what was at stake, what was in it for him, quite frankly, and he tried to figure that out. And this is the part I need you to know. Anytime you set about to do these good works, you're expectant, like day follows night, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be resistance. When you are in the Lord, when you, the handiwork, who was made in God's image and likeness, when you're setting about to do these good works that God has prepared for you in advance to do, there is going to be resistance. it's not going to be easy. And David's oldest brother got in his face and said, who the heck do you think you are? Where's these sheep you're supposed to be watching? He wanted him to get out of there. Can you imagine if David would have listened to his oldest brother and not defeated the giant Goliath? But he ignored his oldest brother. Imagine that. Sometimes you got to do that. And he went ahead because, you see, God had prepared works in advance for David, which he faithfully performed. Because he said, when I was out with the sheep, this is what happened. God strengthened me so that I could take a sheep out of the mouth of a lion. I defeated a lion by the scruff of the neck. Can you imagine this little boy literally goes up to a lion, grabs the lion with his own hand to pull the sheep out? You see, that was a work that God used in David's life to prepare him for what he had to do in the future as the king of Israel. Second, he said, a bear. He did the same thing with a bear. So when he faced the greatest giant that nobody in Israel wanted to face, he said, hey, look to this giant. God used me. And it wasn't David, he knew it. It was God Almighty himself who gave him the strength to pull that sheep out of the lion. God gave me the ability, he did it. He pulled the sheep out of the mouth of a bear, and he will take you down too, Goliath. And so he got his sling, he had five smooth stones. He didn't need five, he needed one. Put it in there. And he did the good work that God had prepared in advance for him to do, and he slung it, and whoop, and bam! That guy was dead. You see, that's you. That's you. You have no idea how great your life is going to be. Expect resistance. Go back and remember in your mind all the things, the miracles that God has already done in your life. Every one of you, right now, think of what God did to get you to today. Think of those miracles. See, he's not done. He did that for a purpose because he knows that in the future, he's going to use you and 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 you for the good works that he's prepared in advance for you to do. There's two things that I taught all these kids that we had the privilege to raise in our home. Number one, never despise small beginnings. Look at David. That's pretty incredible what happened with him, caring for the sheep. That's what he's doing. He's had like the lowest job ever, caring for the sheep. God used that for his preparation. Never despise small beginnings. And number two, remember this. You are a cog in the wheel. That's what I told our kids. Every single one of us is a cog in the wheel in God's great kingdom, in his machine. He loves us. He created us for a purpose. And you do whatever he's called you to do at that particular time in life. You do that really well. And the body of Christ functions like none other. Lives are changed. People are healed. God performs miracles because he uses your hands, your feet, your great mind, and your great heart in his image, in his likeness. Does this sound like a fun day or what? I'm in. Are you in? Yes. Let's be in. Yes. Hallelujah. Father God Almighty, for anyone that you are calling this day to follow you, anyone's heart who has said, Lord, I just am not sure if I know you, Father, would you call them right now to your kingdom? And I pray that they would come even now, Father. and pray the sinner's prayer, which is, Father, I am a sinner. Have mercy on me and on my soul. Lord, you take me just as I am. So, Father, I pray that you would receive this life into eternity and that they would come to you forever and ever and ever and ever. And, Father, we look to you for that great day for everyone in this room when you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.